to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Hello, David Britton from the Stardome.
Hi, how are you?
Observatory and Planetarium.
Observatory and Planetarium.
You've got the full name, that's good.
We're good, David. We're good. We're even better because we know we're about to talk about UFOs.
Well, it's a special request, yes.
I think initially what we should start off with here is what it stands for.
I know what I'd like it to stand for, things like unconfessed fraudulent observations.
No, because it's unidentified. I guess what you're saying is there's too many untrained eyes looking up and just seeing unidentified flying objects because they don't know how to identify them. Is that what you're getting at?
I think quite often it's not clear at all that they're flying and or that they're objects.
Oh, so sometimes there's a bit of dust in the eye?
More like dust in the lens, perhaps. So optical effects, but also atmospheric effects. So a lot of them are phenomena
psychedelics.
Rather than actual objects. People mistake things or interpret what they see as being objects when in fact they're not.
DMT.
Simply because they're not used to looking at the night sky.
Right.
Mm.
Especially townies.
Like bloody townies.
Now, David, the reason we are talking about UFOs is a couple of months ago I watched a Joe Rogan podcast with Commander David Fravor, who's a retired US Navy pilot, and he just talks about his close encounter, which happened in 2004 with a so-called UFO.
Yes.
And have you had a chance to look at it?
I looked at most of it, So what did you think of it?
I thought it was a pretty legitimate encounter with a flying saucer.
It seems like a stand-up guy. Do you think it's a last-ditch effort for some dude to stay relevant?
I don't know. I mean, from what I saw, I mean, he seemed to be genuine, but I'm not entirely sure that he's 100% genuine in everything that he said.
What was his name, John?
I hate to say that about anyone.
What was the guy's name, sorry?
You know? Sorry.
It was Commander David Fravor.
And basically in this podcast, I'll just sort of wrap it up for everyone. He sort of describes a sort of a tic-tac-shaped thing that sort of hovers over water and can move in crazy directions very quickly. And he had like a pretty clear sort of view of it. And he was tracking it in like a fighter jet.
He's very high up in US Navy.
It's compelling, to say the least, right? I mean, he's not your average dude on a bus sort of going through the Dome Valley. I mean, this dude's was tracking an object, you know? That's what's trippy about it. But, I mean, they don't know that the career doesn't have
the
technology or whatever.
He was eyeballing it. His wingman at the back, he's the weapons officer, he was using instruments because they were on a training exercise. They didn't have any live ammunition, but they had all the other equipment that they used to find, acquire a target and so on. The thing is that the infrared footage that came out a number of years later, because it didn't come out at the time that this occurred, although there's information in there that seems very convincing, there's a couple of things that are missing, like what speed was the plane going at during when that footage was taken, and what direction was it? This targeting system keeps the target in the center of field of view, but that's not telling you how much it's moving across the sky to keep it in view. That plane might have been doing all sorts of maneuvers.
It was, speeding I think
up,
it was stationary
down,
when
you can't tell that from the information that was there.
From what I gathered, it was stationary when he caught it, and then when it decided to go, it went so fast that there was nothing he could do about it.
But when that happened, there was no infrared. That was just his eyeballing of it.
But what flavour Tic Tac was it? That's what everyone wants to know, really.
Well, that's right. Again, what can happen? I mean, you're right about his credentials and his skills and his fitness and health and so on. But psychologically, what people can do is you see something and you interpret it one particular way, and from that point on you try and make everything that you see fit what you think it is you see.
Of course. And the human memory is so flawed, it's not even funny. Like, we are terrible at remembering things.
That's right.
Well, verbatim,
anyway.
There was
another plane, a second plane there that could see something as well. Mm. They didn't report it in quite the same way as he did, although it wasn't like they didn't see nothing. They saw something.
Yeah.
The turbulent, churning water with foam and frothy waves and so on. Again, there's doubt about the size that they talk about, because they're at 20,000 feet.
They think it was about the size of a Boeing aircraft, which is strange. Like,
that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, again, to talk in those terms seems to me slightly odd, but I mean, that's probably what pilots do think in terms of
flying objects.
If you're looking at the sea, I mean, if you're looking at wave height to try and get an idea of scale, you're looking at the distance between waves. Well, that's going to depend on wind conditions. The waves don't just sit the same distance apart. I don't know how experienced the person like that is at looking at that sort of thing.
I think
he's a fighter pilot. He's looking for, enemy aircraft in the sky.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's why I guess it stood out to him. He was like, "What the hell is this?" But I think what's interesting is how he can have this this narrative about this thing and be so open about it, and nobody's really they haven't really looked into it. Like he said, he took it to his sort of commandings and stuff, and they were like, "Yeah, cool, man. Okay, nothing we can do about it. It was just a thing that you saw, so yeah." And like, it's like, what?
Well, that's right. I mean, there was no radar and stuff of some of this. There were some anomalies before the exercise occurred, and that probably put a little bit of a seed in people's minds that they'd had this happening. But the thing is, radar isn't a black and white technology. There, echoes occur, artifacts occur, and things disappear, not because the thing has disappeared, but because the radar can't acquire it for some reason. So there's a whole bunch of stuff there. So when they got back to the aircraft carrier, they didn't get a lot of attention, and there was no debrief of the incident either at the time.
Yeah, which is kind of like, okay.
This sort of thing is happening just recently. In fact, last week. Did you know that the White House went into lockdown?
Excuse me? John, can you turn this intense music up?
The White House went into lockdown because air defense computers picked it up, what they described as a slow-moving blob.
Wait, okay? I've been here the whole time, so that's...
Yeah, they couldn't discover exactly what it was, so they go through all the security levels.
There was Donald Trump coming in late from White Castle.
Missile systems turned on that start out at a certain perimeter away from the White House, and as this blob got closer, other missile systems and so on were activated.
Whoa.
Until quite close to the White House. They have these machine gun systems, the Avenger system, that pop out of the roofs of buildings.
Holy crap.
That are normally hidden. And people are going, what the dickens is going on?
Right.
And, of course, it wasn't anything as far as the enemies go.
Mm.
They're not exactly sure that it wasn't a flock of birds even. What they think, again, it was an echo within the air detection network, a mirror track, which the computer system sort of invents a separate aircraft in a different location. And then there's a series of errors in what happened that compounded this whole thing. The same sort of thing happens with UFOs as well.
Yeah, I guess the interesting thing was he was saying, I forget the pilot's name, I keep forgetting his name, but he was saying that the when it came to move, it just moved radically. So it was like, they had it sort of locked and they just saw it move in like crazy sort of quick.
That's right.
And it just wasn't familiar in like any flight pattern any flight pattern that they've ever seen or been used to. So that's when you kind of like sort of prick your ears up and you're like, wow, that's a strange anomaly,
Well, it is. But again, the assumption that's all built on is that it's an object.
Yeah.
If it's not an object, if it's an artifact in the radar.
But it has to be an object to create the white water in the water, right?
That's
the
illusion, internal reflection or something like that, or something off the windscreen, that sort of thing, you're going to get something that appears to be moving real fast when in fact there's nothing there to move. You're seeing light of a certain shape.
Yep.
Moving across, but it's not an object itself.
It's interesting though, because this is combined with radar and vision. So he's talked about what he saw and what the radar showed him. So it's like that's what makes this a little bit more heavy than the normal, obviously the observer, because he's trained to describe things, you know, and he's trained to not get overly excited about things. Like these are sort of.
No, he wasn't excited. No,
you
was,
know what I mean. Like he's not like
to be
a,
as professional as possible.
Yeah, he wasn't ripping a bong at the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The thing is, there are literally tens of thousands of so-called alien encounters and observations and so on.
Yeah.
And despite even ones like this that seem to really have no real explanation aside from perhaps either total fraud or aliens.
I think it could be something else. Evidence. I think it could be technology that we have that we're not talking about as well. It doesn't need to be alien, but it could be extreme.
That's right. I mean, there were suggestions that it might have been a submarine that had a drone up above.
Right.
And so the frothing of the water was a submarine that was submerging out of sight, and it left a drone above that was being... that was watching it or recording it, and that's what they saw.
The other rabbit hole is, I guess, the back in the day, you know, everyone argues that Area 51, you know, blah, 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 something landed, blah, blah, blah. They're still kind of whacking on about it. It's not so much Area 51 now. It's a different spot. But, you know, people say, we've got technology that we don't know about and all this. It's kind of, you know, it's awfully exciting,
Peter. From an astronomy point of view, I have to say that we have absolutely no idea how aliens, whoever, whatever they are,
did you do quotation marks in the air?
Technically, actually get here and do the things they're supposedly doing.
Right.
You know, and others have said, look, if aliens really came here, we probably wouldn't know or understand anything that was going on. It would appear to us like magic.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And so that kind of opens the door, Pandora's box wide open, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does, but the thing is, it doesn't say that what seems like magic was aliens.
Yeah.
It doesn't work backwards. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I mean, and of course, what complicates it as well are the absolute frauds. In 1953, there was the Monkey Man, which turned out, in fact, to be a rhesus monkey that these guys had anesthetized and put down and shaved it, cut its tail off, and pretended that it was an alien, but at least in that case it did go to a coroner. He said, the lack of hair I can't account for. By our criteria, it fits the simian picture of the body characteristic closer to a rhesus monkey than anything else. And when he was asked if it could have come from another planet, he replied, I don't know. I've never been in outer space. If it did, they don't have anything new out there. You know, and just recently, just last week, when the Rocket Lab launched seven satellites.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. But there were reports of UFOs from that.
Yeah, that's buzzy. It's kind of like it looks like a space train.
That's right.
A friend of mine said he saw that the other day and it really blew his mind.
The SpaceX launches on YouTube or TV.
Right.
It left the same sort of trail.
Yeah, because these things are like flying through the sky, and what's happening, listeners, is they're kind of like, you know, the satellites. So it's like a star will come out behind a cloud, and then they'll just like formulately, like, there'll just be a few following at perfect distances, and they just stay at a perfect distance, and it's kind of been freaking everyone out. You can watch them on YouTube. Everyone's having a good buzz out over that.
Yeah, but again, people looking at something like the that launch, if they didn't realize the launch was happening, and they're, you know, 50, 100 kilometers away, they're looking up and see something like this. To actually look and know or observe that it's in fact, you know, 50 kilometers up in the air, up in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like that.
I've
but
had
that's in fact what it is. You know, it's really high and it's going really fast. But you're not used to looking at things in that way, you know. And so, yeah, there's a number of people who were convinced it was a UFO, but it was just a rocket launch. Mind you, that one is a very important one because the booster came back down. It wasn't going to be caught or landed, but it survived the re-entry back down. Okay, so instead of burning up, it survived the heat of that. Now, it crashed into the ocean, but it The next stage is it'll slow down, and then they're going to aim to catch it with a helicopter.
Do they know about how helicopters have blades spinning above them? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But they have,
just double checking.
Use a big net.
I actually had a classic as, just if I can share my own UFO experience, gents, really quickly.
Sorry, what was that?
I thought I saw a bunch of UFOs one time. And
yep.
I think what it ended up being was some of those, you know, people like those like lamp things that with like a little candle in it. And
the Chinese lantern.
Yeah, it was those, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
But I was steamed and I was like, oh, man. Had a bit of a moment.
Every year we have reports of those. Yeah.
Because they move real weirdly. It's like, what?
I know. Right. What I was going to say is if people want to follow up on some more of these things, we now have a spaced out web page at Stardome.
Oh, very nice. At stardome.org.nz.
Or is it like reports?
That's right.
Reports?
Yeah, so the main stories that we talk about on the program, we're putting up web links for those. But also, like, there's a whole bunch of other stories I'd love to talk about, but there's just simply no time. But we're putting up links to those stories as well.
Space news headlines.
And it goes back so people can look at the older ones.
Cool.
And one thing I actually just noticed today that we haven't got is a link to your pages.
Oh, we have to get everything up and...
Yep. Yeah, so I'll need to put a link to the BFM Bcast pages so people can go and listen to the podcast.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Now, what's happening in the night sky, David?
Well, not a great deal. I mean, it's after sunset, Matariki is... nice and high in the north, which is good. It's in the sky pretty much the whole night at the moment. But as far as planets go, there's just two. After sunset in the west, we've got Venus and Saturn. They're pretty low, but Venus is very bright, so might get some photographic opportunities there. The moon's a little bit bright at the moment, so we're coming out towards full moon. But, look out for those.
Okay.
And at Stardome, we've got the Great Christmas Give Back is still on. People can donate for that. That goes through to the 15th of December. And the night show that we have at the moment is called Our Night Sky, the Christmas edition. So this is the night sky. It's in our planetarium, our 360-degree dome theatre, where a presenter uses the system to show a whole bunch of stuff. So this is... our Christmas edition, looking at the Christmas star, Christmas themes, celestial objects, that sort of thing. So get along to that. That's at Stardome in One Tree Hill, the Royal Oak End.
Oh, fantastic. Hey, David, we'll check in with you next week. I think we've got one more spaced out left in 2019.
Yeah, we've got one more. So if any of your curly questions you want to shoot my way.
Okay. We'll let you know. All right. We have had one text in. Someone who says, I'm an alien. We're everywhere on Earth.
Welcome. So. Welcome aboard.
Well, that's what, we're all aliens. We just haven't left Earth yet. Yeah.
All right, David. Hey, we'll chat to you next week.
Look forward to it.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, mate.
Bye.
Control, we are docked. That was spaced out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.